So I think what we need to do is we're almost finished the first review of the legislation with Peter and Al Gatta, and Mr. Papalotto was here today and take Mr. Gatta's place, I think.
Yes.
And then we do need to go to a memo that was sent back in July 7th, 2009 by the then county attorney, raising some issues that we need to consider with respect to this legislation. And County Attorney Meehan is here with Linda Trenchacost to address, to talk about some of those issues. So let's figure out where we were with the legislation. I think we were. At page. We were farther along because we changed on page 12 the word ability, the commitment, and the applicant.
I wrote to be continued.
Question.
We're on page 13.
That's right.
The document that we were given today, does this include the changes that we made last week?
Does it have green?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does.
Then it does.
And a couple more as well.
Okay.
But yes, it does.
So switch to blue.
And that summarizes
giving
out to you now, which summarizes last week's changes, and Mr. Eschweiler compiled this. It's the same as my understanding as well.
So these are the changes that have been made since last week?
Yes.
And they're in green?
Yes. Now, there was a subsequent meeting, Legislator Myers, myself, other staff, and there were a couple other changes that point those out to you.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to start on page 13, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, were there any changes made
prior to
as a result of your meeting?
We'll
incorporated in here before page 13.
We'll go back to them.
Yeah. Yes, it's these changes.
No, but these are any of these. What I'm asking is, we went through and made some changes last Monday. Since that, those changes are now incorporated into this document.
Yes.
Up to page 13. Have any other changes up to page 13 been made?
Yes.
There have been. Okay. So we have to come back to those changes. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to start on 13, and I guess Peter, you're going to take us through.
Yeah, we had explained that we have introduced this concept of phase one funding for the basic planning for a stormwater project, and phase two funding, which is the funding for its implementation. And we explained how there may be some communities who, because they've done a project, all of the necessary phase one project planning on their own, would just like to come in and apply for phase two planning. So starting at the bottom of page 13, application and review procedures for phase two funding, it explains the process of doing that, refers back to the earlier section of the law for how those reviews will be conducted. Going to page 14. Section 10, Rules, Conditions, and Regulations. I've got so many colors here, I'm not quite sure what we started with. In the upper part of that, now number 314 through 317, we introduced the advice with the consultation with the Stormwater Advisory Board. We made it general gender neutral as to how the commissioner may deem something necessary. And then broke out the following paragraph into a series of subparagraphs, just rather than have it run on as a massive paragraph, more of a checklist type of procedure.
Right. That takes us to 15. Yes.
On line 327, E is struck and D is inserted. What was taken out of E?
C. C.
That's a C. It looks like an A because of the way the line is, but it's actually a C.
Because there were two C's and they just changed that to the D.
There had been a C originally, and we introduced a C above it, so that therefore the original C had to become a D.
Thank you.
Yeah, just specify the basis. Okay, now we're going to write the truth. Now, this is the creation of the advisory board.
Then on page 15, section 11, the entry onto land and waters. I think that's straightforward out of the original draft. The Elizabeth people had suggested a little more polite procedure about ringing the doorbell and asking permission. Included if you like.
I suggest that that's already applied.
Oh, I don't think so. Then in line 335, we get into the creation of the Stormwater Advisory Board. We took out the word management, basically, is what has been struck and just made it Stormwater Advisory Board. The functions that they were to be given is unchanged. The suggestion here that there be 10 voting members. I think the board likes the idea of 5 appointed by the county executive, 5 appointed by the county board. And
but you added some members.
Here you've added things that we didn't have to add.
So basically, you've got a member of the county board, so technically you got 6 county board people and 5 appointed by the county exec.
This is all changed by somebody else now.
But the county board person doesn't vote.
Well, that's what the question is going to ask.
That's how it reads, right?
I don't know.
It was a way to have a legislative representative on the board. And yes, the legislative representative would have a vote.
Where do you see that, the vote?
Because I was the one who did it.
It also says this advisory board will consist of 11 members, but it has 10 plus 1 plus 2.
5 plus 1 plus 2.
The two are ex officio.
And our voting members?
No,
the two ex officio are not voting.
Not necessarily.
You struck
my foot. Well, right. We weren't sure of that.
Who made you made these changes?
With Stacy and when we were going over this with Chris and Stacy.
Let help me here for a second, if I can. What was the original and what is it now? Let's look. The original said there shall be an advisory board which shall advise the planning commissioner, public works commissioner, the county executive, and the county board in matters relating to stormwater management. And then we said that the advisory board would consist of 11 members, right? 10 voting, which were 5 appointed by the county executive and 5 appointed by the county board. And then the 11th member was supposed to be ex officio commissioner of planning, who was supposed to serve as chairman. And
then
who would
we
have
realized,
a vote.
But we and realized then that DPW had been left out.
But that was intentional.
Why? No, it wasn't.
Yeah, the original draft, it was intentional to leave DPW out because they didn't want to be involved in the whole purpose of the advisory board and this aspect of it was to be the planning function. And then it was Public Works that technically was going to carry through the day-to-day activities. And so the concept was that this would be the planning.
I don't agree.
So, well, I don't care however anybody wants to do it, but the idea was that this was going to be an arm of the planning.
Seems like there's a lot of chefs here.
Yeah, way too much.
The problem is that, at least in making it like the Flood Action Task Force had been, both Commissioner of Planning and Commissioner of DPW were both very involved. Therefore, the thought was to make it, since this is basically just duplicating what has been in place for 3 years, the idea was to keep them both very involved.
What was the logic by not having them vote?
We need to make it an odd number.
Yeah, so it would have still been odd. Wouldn't
it's even.
No, it's 10.
You got 10 now.
And one.
And one
legislative.
But it's not clear on whether that person votes or not.
Right.
Not
well,
the way this is written.
That person did.
Yeah.
Needs to say so, but.
Right.
Well, what is the sense of people with respect to who should be on it? And can I ask the county attorney a question? Is there any difficulty, any problem with having a board member as a designated member of a board like this? A county board member as a member of a board like this? I know we have it in other circumstances, but I don't know if they get the vote. You have it like on the parks board.
Also doesn't say who appoints
and
that.
And on the
who
county
designates
board.
That? Who designates
right,
that
exactly
member?
Right.
Doesn't say who designates.
Yeah,
doesn't say
wrong.
That, though.
Yeah, one of our notes out of our meeting was, how does this work on other committees and other advisory boards?
What was the logic of having a county board member sit on this committee?
To be able to act as a liaison between the committee and the county board of legislators. Much as there are
we
on
have
parks, board of health.
I know.
Because your other members are not going to be board of legislator members. They're going to be professionals in the field, basically.
I mean, this advisory board looks to me like a nuts and bolts board. I don't know why you have a county board member on it. I mean, eventually, any project's going to come to the county board.
Because it seems to, at least in the experience and going through the appointments book and all the experience with many of the other advisory boards. Mm-hmm. Is that when there is a legislative member, it helps to bring the information back to the Board of Legislators without having to bring in the entire board. You see what I'm saying? With the entire advisory board. It doesn't have to be done, but it is done in parks, it's done in health, it's done in a number of different areas, where that person then is appointed for the term of their, as long as they're elected, or like, I think the wording in health is until they're not elected, acts as a go-between.
So that board member would be on it indefinitely until they're not elected, is what you're saying?
If they don't want to be.
Yeah, I think you would want
to. I mean, I think that's what's happened with Parks Board of Health. I mean, it tends to be when either somebody leaves, isn't reelected, leaves, or doesn't want to be on it.
Right, okay.
Chair, if I propose an amendment to line 344, to strike the word designated and replace it with voting, and then after the county board, semicolon, and add appointed by the chair of the county board of legislators, semicolon. If that's the intent.
It is.
Okay, how do we get a chair of this board? The concept before was that the commissioner of planning was going to be heading this group. This kind of tilts it the other way.
It did say, originally, the original language was that the planning commission would be the chair.
Service right. Chair.
Why was it thought not to do that? I mean, frankly, Judy, it would be nice if some of these proposals were presented to the committee rather than just stuck in a draft and presented
well,
to us the day of the meeting.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but no, it's nice to discuss in advance whether, you know, why what the thinking is rather than just, you know. Otherwise, every legislator in this room could decide to go into the document and start making.
I was just there as an advisor. I mean, this was something that had been put together by the staff, and they were going through it with Stacy as legal consultant for the Board of Legislators. And I was just invited in as an interested party. There was nothing.
It changes the concept a little bit, though. That's the
fine. I mean, get rid of it. I don't care. I mean,
well, it's worth considering, though.
The focus of this is stormwater management. The focus of this is not who sits where.
No, no. I understand, but I'm just saying that the way it evolved over time, we had struck the Commissioner of Public Works because the last Commissioner of Public Works didn't want to be on this.
That's not true.
Yeah, Ralph Butler did not want to be involved in this way back when.
Well, as of last December, he sure did.
He said he wanted to be?
Yes. And he was an integral part of it. Absolutely.
No, integral part of your agency.
Exactly.
He did not want, when we met with him early on, when we went from version 1 to 2, okay, this is now version 3, the commissioners, you were probably sitting there, and they expressed serious concerns about some of the responsibilities we were placing on them and the way we were working.
Those are not
this.
In here. those responsibilities were far greater, and it also had to do with
exactly.
the stream control law, not with this law.
No, it was this as well. And we made significant changes from one version to the other after listening to the two of them. And the Public Works Commissioner didn't want to take on any more responsibility.
He's not even the same person anymore. So the question here is, do you want it to be more than one commissioner?
I'm just explaining how we got there so that we can hear both sides. And all I'm saying
is... I'm trying to give you the other side.
Right. But he was saying that he didn't think... that his department should be involved in the planning of this, and he was trying, frankly, to extricate his department as much as possible. So that's why we went with the Commissioner of Planning, because we saw this more as a planning function. I don't disagree with you that the Commissioner of Public Works needs to be involved as a staff member for any decisions that this board would make and any recommendations that they make. Whether he should be sitting on it, I will leave open to everybody. I don't, maybe we want to go forward and get comments later from them. I mean, I don't know what John Hsu's position is on this. I don't know what the administration's position would be as to who should be on this board. I could go either way. What's the sense of people? They care?
I don't. Yeah, I do. I think we need to think about this. I would like to get Peter and Mr. Capillari's views.
When we started
well
with
the
this,
county attorney.
Started with this, it was to be a 10-member board,
right.
And it was raised. The question was raised in our review with the task force. Well, what happens if there's a tie vote? And that was the idea of inserting somebody else in there as an 11th person who would be
break the tie.
It was I who
that
typed
was
in
planning the commissioner. To,
I who typed no. in the words the commissioner of planning with vote. I think it would serve just as well if it were the commissioner of planning with no vote, unless it was a tie-breaking vote.
Almost like the speaker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was the concept of I brought in that person because that's sort of the way we've been working well. I agree that both commissioners should sit in the meetings of the task force if they're available, just as they have done for the first 3 years of their existence.
I would agree with what Peter said. I think having the Public Works Commissioner involved is a good idea in the sense that you've got some technical expertise there that some others in the room may not have. You're going to need to have a tiebreaker one way or the other, whether it's the Planning Commissioner or a member of the County Board. The member of the County Board could also serve as a liaison by definition, but that's up to the board to decide that. I don't think it's our issue here.
Unless you did, five members appointed by the county board, one of whom shall be a member of the county.
Do that too. I think it's more important that we have some continuity, though, in the chairmanship and as a staff person, because the members will come and go, but that title will be there.
Exactly.
They'll have the institutional
really
memory, they'll have the knowledge,
based.
And that'll certainly facilitate the business of the...
I think it should be 10 voting members, 5 appointed by the county executive, 5 appointed by the county board, one of whom shall be a member of the county board, appointed by the chairman of the county board, and that the commissioner of planning will be a voting member who will be the chair. And then you have 11 people, and that's it.
The one concern I have about having a member of the county board sitting there is we wanted to make this geographically as diverse as possible. We originally started by saying that we were talking about designating people from each of the watersheds.
Which is in the next section.
Well, now it says, it's not required. It's now, shall give due consideration to geographic distribution. Because we recognize we have 6 watersheds, and we want to have somebody from each of the watersheds if possible. We kind of backed away from the original idea of I think we were going to have a 12-member board, Chris, way back earlier? It was originally 12 members, 2 from each watershed, and the concept was, because this is a countywide board, and somehow we ended up, I guess, with only 10 now rather than 12. I'm not quite sure when that change was made, but could you give us some comments on that?
The task force recommended that you go to a smaller number.
Yeah. Why? That was the task force.
Because we started out with 7, and we increased it to 10, but you're
doing this from the view of what the task force was. This group is a little different than the task force, though. Is there any problem with using 12?
I would observe that I don't think you have the existing cohesion in the other watersheds that you do in the Liswick watershed, and that there's not that much advantage to trying to have all of them represented, because I think the Upper Long Island Sound watershed, which drains into Connecticut, is not going to be I don't think you'll get the regional approach to water management there that you do in the
They don't flood, and they don't flood.
Where?
Upper Long Island.
Pound Ridge.
Hardcastle, Pound Ridge, Lewisburg.
They flood Connecticut.
Right.
That watershed drains only into Connecticut.
Okay.
And to get, find a member from up there who wants to come down and sit and listen to everybody else talk about their problems when that person may not share or be in the mind. I don't mind getting somebody from Bedford Village.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I don't mind getting somebody from Bedford Village, but I just,
Where do you live?
Vista, let's say. I live in Pleasantville.
Oh, okay. All right, I thought you lived up there.
No.
Okay. I don't know. What if everybody's silent on this? What do people think? But
I think we should make it simple.
I'll add my two cents. I think it should be the 10 members, the 5 and the 5, that have voting rights, and the chairman, in the event of a tiebreaker, break it. I do not think a member of the Board of Legislators should have voting rights. I think they should act simply in a liaison capacity. That's what I think. Whatever it's what.
Anybody else have
I would side more on that, so I've been having a voting member.
Mm-hmm. It's fine.
All right.
I think the most important thing is that there is a way to get information back to
the absolutely.
Board.
Oh, absolutely. And I would envision several legislators coming to the meeting and acting
as
liaisons.
Right, and in a way, you're right in that, in essence, that the legislator would have two votes in a way. And
that is correct.
So you are
designating funding and so forth.
Right.
So B would say a non-voting member of the county board appointed by the chairman of the county board. And then C, we want two ex officio.
Yeah, a non-voting.
We still want the commissioner of planning to be the chair?
I would think so. I mean, I personally usually am reluctant to have one of the commissioners head an advisory board. Mm. But on the other hand, in this case, they're going to need some staff. And the concept
point.
Was that's why we were going with the planning commissioner, in hopes that the planning staff would be available to this group.
And that's what has happened.
Right.
We've had planning staff more than public works staff.
Right.
Yeah.
So would it be okay with you to just go back to planning commissioner?
Is that John Chu right now on both?
No, it's
Burroughs,
Ed Burroughs.
Burroughs
is your brother.
Yeah, my... with a different name. I don't want anybody to know that.
And only one R.
Right.
Yeah. As I said, I'm usually reluctant to have somebody from the administration act as a, but in this case, we saw this as if you didn't make the planning commissioner the chairman, it's unlikely you're going to be able to get the staff help that you needed.
So that would go back to reading one, and he would have a vote, right? Or she would have a vote?
No.
Well, we could make it a tiebreaker.
Tie.
Why don't we rephrase it that way, only in the case of a tie?
One ex officio member, the commissioner of planning, who shall serve as chair and vote in the case of a tie.
That tends to give the county executive six votes.
Which I like, to be honest with you. I think the county executive should have more of the say than our own board.
I think I disagree with you in this case, but because what we're talking about here is setting more policy than we are operations, but again, I would not argue the point here because of the need for the planning staff. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a 10-member voting board so that you got to get 6 out of 10 rather than the force of compromise that way.
True.
You know, I mean, it's 6 out of
so
10.
So keep it to 10 and do one ex officio, the commissioner planning, who
without
shall serve as chairman?
Yeah, serve as chairman and vote in the event of a tie.
Does that work for everybody?
Well, let's try to get the tiebreaker.
No, we wouldn't have a tie.
It wouldn't be a tiebreaker. I would think under circumstances like that, the planning commissioner could be influential on the other 10.
So one ex officio non-voting member.
Mm-hmm.
You not like that idea?
I think you should
just observe again that in 3 years we've never had anything except unanimous votes.
Right.
When you have an even number, it kind of forces people to get together, and because you've got to get that extra vote.
As I say, we've had 10 members now for 2.5 years.
And never had a...
No, we've
not. Right. All votes have been unanimous, especially to adjourn.
Well, we've heard all the different arguments.
Which, yeah, that's always a rule.
So I made that motion right now, I think.
We've heard all the different approaches. What are people suggesting? Which way we want to go?
I think we've heard.
I think you should have a tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker?
I don't care.
Okay. I say no.
So
no tiebreaker.
No, you like six. You just like 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I would agree that the 10 without tiebreaker.
I also.
All right, so
I'm overruled.
Yeah,
I could go either way on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I could go either way on
yeah,
that one.
Right. So let's
strive
it's
to get the committee to agree, the board to agree. So no tiebreaker.
Okay. So it's 10 voting members,
yeah.
5 by the county executive, 5 appointed by the county board, and then the commissioner of planning is the chairman without a vote.
Skip them without a vote.
Well, I think you want to make it clear. Oh, it's a non-voting member. You want to make it clear that he's non-voting, whatever. Right. So, because otherwise somebody could read this as saying, well, he's the chairman, he's got the right to vote, but, you know, let's make it clear.
Okay.
Non-voting.
So okay. One ex officio, non-voting. Isn't that redundant?
No.
No.
Okay.
No. The ex officio could be with or without a vote.
Got it. Okay. One ex officio, non-voting member, the commissioner of planning, who shall serve as chair.
Right. Got that, Chris?
I got it, yeah. Okay. And Public Works and...
Whichever one of you.
Public Works is deleted.
Now, we could put in here somewhere, if you want, that the Public Works Commissioner shall be an advisor.
Well, up above, it does say there shall be a Stormwater Advisory Board, which shall advise the Commissioner of Planning, the Commissioner of Public Works, the County Executive, and the County Board. So they're included in definitely in there.
Okay.
Up in that same paragraph, we should say the advisory board will consist of 10 members.
Mm-hmm. So line 340 has to change to 10.
Well, you still have a non-voting member of the county board, though.
No,
yes.
No, he's gone.
We're taking the county board
yeah,
member.
That's
good.
Out.
Okay,
no,
good.
No, we didn't.
No.
Not at all.
I'm
we said they're just non-voting.
They're
right.
Non-voting.
But they should go.
Right.
So is it consisting of 11 members?
11. No, it's not a member. That's not a member of the advisory board.
Yeah.
So, well, actually, it becomes 12
it's
in
12
that
with
case.
The commissioner.
Yeah,
right. The commissioner is 12, right. So,
well,
yeah.
It gets complicated.
All right, so we have 12 members now, but it's two
non-voting
members.
Two are non-voters.
Members. What does the word ex officio mean?
By virtue of the office. Without being named.
Yeah, so you can't say ex officio county board member because there's 17 of us, so we'd have to...
Right. Has to be a method for designation.
Has to be a member. So it's appointed by the chairman of the board.
We have that in, yeah.
Okay. Next.
Next is section 13, which is blue. So that...
All blue.
Well, it's not new after our meeting. Apparently this was discussed. It was added. It wasn't added as one of the green comments we added. It was some other time.
It was earlier. This is earlier. Blue is earlier.
I think this came as a result of...
Blue was here the last time the
yes.
committee
right. So the blue is the result of discussions between Mr. Gatta and our former planning commissioner.
That would be the Liswick example.
And that's in order to retain Liswick, since they've done so much.
Yeah.
Well, it's also an attempt to force the other...
Basins
to get together.
Yeah.
Right. Is this strong enough to do that?
I think so. We put in one of the points that Al had made earlier was you've got to consult with the chief electeds in the municipalities when you do this. Basin Advisory Board, in the model given here, is composed of the chief executives unless they designate somebody else. What I was looking for is that in the other 5 watersheds, that you go directly to the commissioners or to the chief executives and not necessarily force them to have an advisory board if they don't want to, but don't overlook them.
Question to you, a technical question. What is the definition of municipality for Section 13? I believe that the definition for Section 13 municipality should be different than the definition for municipality for other purposes in the Act. We've had discussions about that. There's 2 different concepts here. One is that we want to deal with municipalities and municipal governments like towns and cities when we're doing projects. but we also, when you're doing the project, have to recognize that it falls within the broader definition of municipality, which means villages, towns, school districts, fire districts, and all other kinds of things that you might have to deal with.
Municipality is defined as town, village, city, stormwater management district, or other public agency or authority, any part of the area of jurisdiction of which lies within the county.
That was the point I was just making. But you might have.
Why do we have other public agency or authority?
Because the
why
land so may be owned by the fire district. The land may be owned by a school district, and you've got to need an intermunicipal agreement with that entity. And so you're giving the county the authority to enter into that intermunicipal agreement with who, however many there are. You might need one with Eastchester and the school district and the fire district and whatever, because they all own a piece of the land. That was the intent there. But here, I think what you're talking about is, I think you have to narrow this down. You don't mean to have every one of those entities appoint somebody. And the more serious question is where it lies in both a town and a village, or in this case, do you want just the supervisor, or do you want all of the mayors as well? Like in Greenberg, for example, that's six villages and one supervisor. So is each of the seven going to appoint somebody, or is it just going to be the supervisor? I don't care. I just want to know what you're thinking.
Where do you mean?
Paragraph 361.
Oh, I see.
So you have the town of Mamaroneck.
Yeah, but
have,
we're not doing the appointing. Oh, you're saying who is the chief elected official.
Right.
I think it's up to them.
You know, Elizabeth's case is 12 municipal members, so each one of those
and does the 12
chief
include,
elected officials would have the...
That includes the villages
yes.
as well
yes,
as
yes,
the towns.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
You want to use that as a model?
Yeah, but it has to be just the municipal governments.
Can I suggest then that we change this to say chief elected official of each city, town, and village included? Does that do it?
Yeah, that would do it.
Instead of
the word municipality. Yeah.
City, town,
otherwise
village.
Otherwise it's too broad.
Mm-hmm. So are you redefining municipality then or not?
No, no. You're just
using the word city, town, and village instead.
Getting rid of municipality.
Okay, and then you're going to change the word municipality a second time too, shall equal the number of
cities,
towns,
and villages.
Right.
So how's that sentence reading?
Read the sentence.
Okay, so the watershed, starting on, well, let's go back up and make sure there's nothing earlier. It starts at 361, right?
Yeah.
The watershed advisory board member shall be appointed by the chief elected official of each city, town, and village, and the number of members shall equal the number of cities, towns, and villages in the watershed. One member from each
city,
town, and village shall be appointed. Such advisory board shall adopt internal structure, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll just basically follow the model that Liswek has set up. It seems to be working. I mean, the fact that they're different sizes and one's inside of the other or whatever
doesn't
seem to
bother. Go back up to 356, though, if you would.
Do we have it there, too?
Pursuant to Section 7 herein.
Okay.
Cities, towns, and villages
in the watershed.
You're
going to have to say it there as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to say may? Don't we want to say shall?
No. What if they don't want to, like
well,
Lewisboro?
Well, I think I would prefer there be permissive rather than mandatory.
Right.
Because one of the things I looked at was that a municipality that's in four different watersheds, that chief executive has to serve on four different basin-wide advisory boards.
No, he's going to appoint somebody for each of the four. That the village of Scarsdale, the town village of Scarsdale, could appoint four different people. I think Scarsdale is one of those that's in four, isn't it?
Yeah, we drain to, we have four different bases, but we drain east and west from.
But you're in four different bases.
Yes.
Okay, so then in that case, you could appoint four different people, or you could appoint the same person to all. You could appoint your public works commissioner or your whoever to all four, or you could say, I want a resident from each of the four because they'll be more interested in what's going on in their basin.
Yeah.
No?
I think it, by making it permissive, you let them decide which is the best way to approach
mm-hmm.
their voting
yeah.
from.
Okay.
Again, the Long Island Sound North, I would think they're going to sit back and say, why?
Right.
Because none of us drain into each other, we all drain into Connecticut.
So we're going to keep shall.
Also, not all of the municipalities, if we drain the lower Long Island Sound watershed, are actually members, in the case of Elizabeth, some of them about to not participate.
Right, right.
But we still have the council, because we've got the preponderance of the municipalities that do drain. May not get them all.
Okay, so it'll be up to people in county government to persuade the various people to become a board.
I think the way we have the work programs organized for the reconnaissance plan is that the initial contact is to all the municipalities individually. We have Liswick as an example where you can go to a bunch, but right. In every other case, it's the planning commissioner going out and interviewing local officials in each municipality. When you get to the stage of collecting all of their suggestions on how to approach their flooding, then that commissioner can recommend form a basin-wide watershed advisory board, or don't.
Okay. The other thing is, I just want to make sure on one issue here. I'd like to make sure that this legislation in no way prevents, and maybe in fact encourages, the county to use its powers to set up a district for one of the watershed advisory boards. And this probably goes to the county attorney's office. So one of the things that we were talking about was Liswick, Long Island Sound watershed communities, has wanted to set up its own district and do its own thing for quite some time. And they have not been able to get the state to set them up as a separate district. So some of us in conversations with them suggested, I think I was the one who suggested at the time, was that maybe we can help you accomplish what you want to accomplish by using our powers to create districts. And we can create you as a county district so that you can do your own thing. You can raise money your way. You can, and so obviously the county board would have to be the governing body for that district, but it would be no different than our sewer districts, where we function as the governing body, but we try to respond to the needs of the people who live in that district. So if there was to be some way that we could use this legislation so that the watershed advisory board coming out of Liswick would be the advisory board to the county board of legislators, and we would set up for them a Long Island Sound district. And if they came back to us and said, hey, look, we want to impose a tax or a fee, then we would consider that, and I would assume the board would respond to what those communities wanted. So it's a way for us to help them, because they seem to have the greatest quantity of water at the moment, and they're trying very hard to solve their own problems. So I just want to make sure that there's nothing in here that would prevent us from doing that, and maybe something in here which would encourage us to do that, to help them.
The way we wrote it, it could, in effect, be a finding of the reconnaissance plan that is the way to proceed.
Okay.
And then the county could do it.
But this should be entirely optional. We shouldn't impose this on any group of people.
No, we're not. No, but they have, one of their objections early on to this was that they wanted to do their own thing.
Right.
And the way we're writing it now, it actually might help them do their own thing. That was the idea. Because you got a group that's very well organized. You got all of the communities.
Well, you're giving them that option.
Okay. I just want to put that on the table as part of the legislative history, that we're trying to facilitate their solving their problems.
Right. Chris Green pointed out to me that apparently you form a county district pursuant to Section 253 of Article 5A of the New York County Law.
Right.
Which requires you to do, in effect, a reconnaissance plan before you can create the district. So that's why I say it could be a recommendation of that plan, if that is the way to go.
Question?
Just a question, Mr. Chairman. If that were to come to fruition, then, I'm not sure how to word this, would they still be eligible for county funding, since now they're sort of off on their own, raising funds on their own via through a tax or some other?
Well, because this plan requires that any project be funded locally.
Right.
By, I think it says 50%, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Either in kind
I don't
or
think
monetary.
That there's, is there anything in here that says that it must be funded by one municipality?
No.
So if let me take the example of, let's say I have let's say I have Irvington and Tarrytown wanting to do something together.
Right.
So they could come forward and say, okay, we're each going to pay 25%. There's the 50%. On the other hand, you might have Amerenik and Larchmont come forward and say, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to pay 50%. But all of the municipalities around have agreed to kick in, and the way we're going to pay the 50% is a $1 per parcel fee. And,
okay.
And next year, that $1 per parcel fee will pay for the project that's down on the New Rochelle border, and next year that fee is going to pay for the following.
Gotcha.
So that's how they raise their 50% as opposed to the way Tarrytown and Irvington would raise their 50%.
Got it, make the math, okay.
Well,
this was their idea, not mine, so.
Oh, yeah.
I had to attend to something, I apologize. I have just a couple of comments you made. You may have done this already, it's fine, but going back to the... To the beginning, you know, page two.
No, we're not back there yet.
But the county should create goes to your point. But incentives for municipalities to work cooperatively. Right there, it relates later on. But right there, you might say with the county and other municipalities. I think you raise a very important point. I think one of the things we want to create incentives for is in fact municipalities to work with other municipalities. Mm-hmm. Larchmont and Amerenik probably should go in together. Together. In that line, line 45, just to highlight that point, the county should, this is the purposes, the county should create incentives for municipalities to work cooperatively with the county and other municipalities. I mean, this is important that they work with other municipalities.
As part of the purpose, this is intended to. Okay.
Right. Because I would want to highlight that joint cooperation.
Yep.
So then, you would like to add the word in
and
with
other
the county and other municipalities.
So it's line 45.
It's more important than
cities, towns, and villages.
I mean, they're already going to work with the county. The incentives are really focused. You almost take county out and work with other municipalities. The focus should be with other municipalities. But that, and then I want to get back to that concept later on, but it starts there. Okay? That was one. But now, and again.
Hold on. So that's a valid point. Let's figure out where to put it in.
You could say for municipalities to work cooperatively with each other.
Yes.
And the county.
With each other.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's a minor point because it's just a statement, but it should be in there. Okay, now moving on, let me stick to that point. On page 12, we have selection criteria. I kind of like, I guess it's H, degree to which problems are intermunicipal and the extent to which those will involve greater intermunicipal cooperation. The result, this selection criteria doesn't set forth the priorities of the selection criteria.
280.
So I'm concerned, and I thought it's addressed somewhere else, but I don't think it really is.
This doesn't do what?
It doesn't address the priority, the selection criteria. We can't solve in legislation, but on page 14.
Wait, what was your problem with 12? Though?
Well, there are no priorities. Like I would like to argue that H. I would like the county to say the greater the intermunicipal getting together, we're going to give that project a higher priority. Then a municipality comes over by themselves. I mean, I just speak for myself, but I mean, we can debate that priority, but I can sit here and say if three municipalities coming together to solve a problem, I would like the county to give that a higher grade, if you will, than just one municipality.
We do say that later on.
Well, but I'm saying that's a selection criteria. Who's to decide? You lay out all the criteria, but who's to say? Later on, where I think you get to the line 313, where I thought... We're sort of delegating to the Commissioner of Planning to maybe write regulations that would set forth those priorities. So they don't have to be set forth in here. The law sets forth the criteria. You delegate to someone else to give it a priority. But when you get to 313 and 314, if you read it carefully, that section, the Commissioner of Planning, after consultation, shall recommend to the board...
In the Commissioner of Public Works.
Well, shall recommend to the board...
What page?
What are we adopting? Page 14.
He was out of here.
Page
you
14.
Have one with green?
No, I do. I'm colorblind. No, but
oh.
So I don't see. But no, I'm not focused on that substance.
Okay.
I'm focused. What are we asking the Commissioner of Planning to do? To recommend to the board for adoption by Act of Local Law such terms, things related to the requirements for eligibility to participate. I mean, is that what we're asking the Commissioner? I thought we wanted the Commissioner to set forth the priorities of criteria. This is simply.
You understand what he's the point he's coming.
Requirements.
He raised this last time.
Requirements for eligibility. What's the eligibility?
Do you have a response to that?
Well, it's the requirements for eligibility. I'm parsing that section. Pass a local law relating to the requirements for eligibility, not the priorities of eligibility, but the requirements for eligibility. I thought the requirements were in here. What do you have to do to be required to be eligible? But it's everything beyond
so
pure eligibility.
So he's saying that the word requirement is not the appropriate word there.
Right, the requirements of eligibility, it's everything else after that. Because we could pass an act of local law. What kind of local law are we passing? I mean, read it. Maybe I'm misreading. What kind of local law are we passing? Read that paragraph.
We're aware of what page
lines 315, 316, 317.
What he's saying is
page 14.
We've got a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry, page 14. I'm just trying to understand what's the law we're going to be asked to pass. I thought we would be delegating to the commissioner the power to do, like, set priorities and do all kind of stuff that a regulatory body would do, so we don't have to do it. But if you're asking us
to...
Recommend to the Board of Legislators. I think the concern early on when we first drafted this was that our commissioners don't have regulatory power unless we give them specific regulatory authority to make the regulations.
We're going to pass a law on requirements eligibility. I'm more concerned. If you look on page 12, selection criteria. They'll be prioritized according to the following criteria. They'll be prioritized.
I'm not sure I understand all of it. Let me just go back to answer your question. What they're doing here is recommending to the Board of Legislators what in the city of New York might be regulations, what in the state of New York might be regulations.
No, you'd be very specific.
But our conversation with the county attorney's office led us to believe that the commissioners, by and large, don't have regulatory power.
Don't get hung up on that.
The stuff had to come to the Board of Legislators for us to do.
Don't get hung up. Very specific. A law related to requirements for eligibility. That's the sum and all of this section. Requirements for eligibility.
Requirements for eligibility for projects, for participating in the...
Right, eligibility. So you go on page 12, selection criteria. You have A, B, C, D, H. I could argue H is the most important. Somebody could disagree with me. But all those criteria, who's to decide which criteria is more important than the other? I thought we wanted the commissioners to decide which
is more important. I thought we wanted the stormwater advisory board to do that.
It's actually the Board of Legislators that's supposed to make the determination as to which project goes first on the basis of the recommendations
of the planning commissioner and the advisory board. The stormwater advisory board.
So we're going to actually, we're going to get a recommendation.
Right.
Okay, how are they going to come up with their recommendation?
By looking at all the applications.
And do we care, all the selection criteria, we don't want to put any priority one over the other. Are they all exactly the same?
I think they're all the same.
That's up to us to do.
How are we going to do? How are we going to? Who are we giving it to? When are we going to do that? This whole law has been put together by different pieces, and I really think
I personally believe that's what the planning commissioner is all about. That's what you have a planning commissioner and a staff for, to make recommendations to us like they do any other project.
Well, again, I might argue
we do
that
a capital project's budget. But it's the administration that determines what to send to us first.
But we're passing a law now. I might say I want the top priority to be if two or more municipalities are coming with a joint project, I would give that a higher priority. That's not in the law.
I think this is a worthwhile discussion, but I think one of the things we have to do today is go through this memo that's been sitting in the county attorney needs. We just need to go through that.
That's fine.
And we've gone through, the only other thing we haven't done is go through the changes that were made since the last meeting, the green changes. Okay. We could do that briefly, and then we need to hear from Bob Meehan and Linda Trent Acosta about it. I don't know. I'll have to see where we are, especially with Bob's. I don't know.
You need to leave?
Yeah,
I've
got 4 o'clock.
All right, so the green changes. The first one I see is on page 2.
That's because this committee had said when it was in here before that we needed to.
So we have the county executive added.
Right, because all it had been said before was county board, and it was agreed that we needed to obviously have the county executive in there also.
And what are the issues?
Where
are
you
at?
Page 52, line 52.
Okay, page 2, okay.
It's in green.
The next change is the approvals that will be by act, and I think that's in response to that memo from the county attorney's office that says we talk about approvals, but we don't say how the approval can
exactly.
be done. This says by act. That's line 55.
That's line 55.
Okay? All right. The next change.
So look, you realize what you're doing here. You realize what that language says, John. Line 52.
Yeah.
By saying reduction of flooding and flood damage within flood hazard areas designated by the federal, by FEMA, or such other areas as may be designated by the county board and the county executive. So that means either one of them separately can designate these areas.
Mm-hmm. So what? We're all looking at reduction of flooding and flood damage.
On the recommendation of the county executive?
I think it really should be. And the concept is that the county charter determines how the county makes a decision. But all of the language usually refers to the county board of legislators. If you look at state law, if you look at our charter, if you look at everywhere else, it says county board. And we've had numerous discussions that say that we can't act without concurrence of the county executive under certain circumstances.
I draw a parallel here to the State Environmental Quality Review Act and the designation of critical environmental areas. We in the administration recommended them to you that you establish them. You established them.
Right. Now, if we say by act, then it automatically includes the county executive because we can't perform an act
so
without it.
So that's why this term is
But if you say by the county executive, then that means he has a veto, which we can't override.
By executive order?
Well, he could do it by executive order, right. And I don't think that was intended. So this language would confuse it because designated by the county board, does that mean by resolution? So we act by resolution, the county executive acts by executive order? I don't think that's what we're intending here. I think what we're intending to do is our normal process. So what you would say is by the county board, and then somewhere in here it would say by act, which then brings in the whole process of which is in the charter.
We could leave the act provision in there.
Right, exactly.
Take out county executive.
I would take out county executive and leave in the act provision.
Just to say the same point on the next page under the definition of floods.
Unless your intent is to say the county executive can do it by executive order.
That's a legislative intent issue. I mean, that's for this committee to decide.
Yeah, I don't think we were intending to do that. I think we were intending to use the normal processes of the county to do this.
In line 54, does the ampersand mean it's going to be renumbered as a new section?
Line 54?
Yeah, line 54.
Yeah, it should be.
That then becomes section 3 and everything else goes.
Yeah, right.
But it has to go somewhere else. That's not under purpose. That has this whole section 54 and 55 has to be a separate section.
Well, that's what it's doing. It's going to make that a separate section, section 3. Mm-hmm. And then 4 becomes...
Well, probably should come later.
Well, that's why I didn't know.
Oh, I see.
Thank you.
Wherever you want to see.
Unless otherwise stated in this article, approval by the county shall be by act.
I would put it at the end.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Right before a separate vote. So then that includes the county executive because by reference it brings in the entire county charter as to how you do an act. Does that make sense?
Okay, the next one is page line 86, page 4. That adds the county executive too. But again, if this is done by act, he gets to approve.
Yeah, so that'll come out. So we'll delete the words on the county executive. It's
and
just
then the next line is 90 that are appropriate rather than required. I remember we discussed
that. That was because of this committee.
Right. And then the bottom and subject to powers set forth in the county
charter.
Well,
99 because it just didn't seem to read right saying powers of county board. So we put in the.
And 101 looks pretty powers of the words pretty innocuous.
Yeah.
Can I just back up? Page 3, you did see that note on 71, line 71 on page 3?
Yes. Okay. Which, and the county executive?
No, that's coming out.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. Is that what you meant? Chris?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
I got that. And then, so now we're up to...
Line 101, do we want to say in subject to powers set forth in the county charter or just set forth the procedures set forth in the county charter? Or just subject to the county charter?
Subject to the county, subject to the county charter.
Subject to the county charter, right.
Okay.
And then the next one I have is 133, just makes a small C.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next substantive one is 160.
Let's discuss it the last
to serve as the basis for the funding of the project.
Yeah.
Next one is 214.
173.
I'm sorry, 173.
There was a concern about the word duplication as in Xerox.
Yeah. Right. Replicate. That's the word. Thank you.
Then 197. That was discussed in the committee.
Yes. Management, not disposition.
213, 214, and 215.
This came from offline discussion. It was thought that the way it was worded could have been interpreted to mean that the advisory board advice was mandatory. So this was an attempt to reword.
Yeah, okay. So we
may consult.
Mm-hmm. That's not okay. And we're up to line page 12. And this gets to selection criteria, recommendations in the reconnaissance plan with respect to project priority.
So now this goes to your
Is this where you're going to insert the one that has no number?
On page 12?
Yep.
Well, recommendations in regard to project priority. So that's, but they prioritize according to the following criteria. I mean, presumably. Well, this goes to my whole big issue about the function of the reconnaissance plan. I look at this later, but the reconnaissance plan says we'll have, here's our recommendation, priority 1, 2, 3. So this implies there'll be project priorities in the recommendations. And assuming that's what's in there, I could imagine if I'm out there in the municipalities, as that reconnaissance plan has been put together, and I'm going to hire a lobbyist, I'm going to go lobby, to me I'm saying, boy, they're putting together that plan.
I'd better be the one.
They're going to recommend priorities, and they can work real hard, fight for months, and get number one.
Okay.
But then my real problem from last, now it comes into the rest of this process, and that kind of all goes away. The fact that after all that big fight, I got it to the number one in the plan, now that as it moves forward through this law, that it may turn out to be number six. That's my point.
Okay.
So what does it mean to have that big fight to make it number one?
Let's talk about that offline.
Yeah, that's too long a discussion.
Okay, I see what you're saying. All right. Yeah.
And we decided to change commitment to ability at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Ability to commit.
Ability to commit. Page 304, we added and review.
Line 304. And review.
To be consistent with number 3 at the top of the page.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then lines 314, 315, we added the Public Works Commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
That was discussed. And then page 15, line 344, 346, we had an extensive discussion of that.
We were fine on that.
One other statutory construction question, line 255.
Right.
What does this apply to? It says local municipalities must adopt and enforce local laws and ordinances, and then it goes to parentheses, all those things, including development standards prepared by the advisory board and approved by the county board. Is the approved by the county board just the development standards,
mm-hmm.
or is it all local laws?
Including development standards.
Well, I'm just asking, just so
yeah.
it's clear.
Is that clear?
Just so is it clear. So,
yes.
Right, so, I mean, I kind of read it that way, but I want to make sure in the record that we're not approving the local laws themselves.
No, no.
The local laws are going to include development standards. To the extent development standards are prepared by the advisory board, those need to be approved by the county. There may not be another way to write that, but it was a little confusing on how to...
Well, I guess you could say including those development standards prepared by the Stormwater Advisory Board and approved by the county.
Well, if the word including brings it in, then it ties into the approval. But
You could say advisory board, which standards have been approved by...
Yeah, maybe repeated, so you know it's the standards have been approved, not the local ordinance.
The standards.
We had a discussion, we don't want to approve
by the
local
county board.
Right, John, we discussed we don't want to be approving local laws. They can write their own local laws.
No, right.
But the development standards.
Board, which standards have been approved by the county?
Okay.
Prepared by the Stormwater Advisory Board, does that refer just to standards as well, or local laws and ordinances?
I think it's pretty clear it refers only to standards.
Including development standards prepared by the Stormwater.
So what you
put a comma after
the local laws include the standards.
Right.
But see, that's the confusion. But we're not approving the local laws.
No.
Okay. I just want to make it clear because someone's going to read this.
Including development standards prepared.
We'll put a note. Ask Marty.
By the Stormwater Advisory Board.
Go to the video tape.
Which are no?
Which standards have been approved?
What you can do it this way: the development standards which are prepared by the stormwater and which are approved by the
Okay, so read it, Tom.
Okay.
Should be that, though.
Including?
That's the which, that, okay. Okay, so, including development standards that are prepared by the Stormwater Advisory Board and that are approved by the county board.
Okay, thank you. Good point. We need to maybe look at the final draft a lot more closely.
Comments?
As I said before, there's a lot of chefs here.
Limited to those approved by the county board?
All right. We need to go through this memo.
No.
Reserving my comments.
Let's go through the memo that was prepared by the predecessor of Bob Meehan and get the benefit of Bob Meehan's comments. I don't know. I want to hear what there might be some issues here that create a problem. Go ahead. Sorry. The floor is yours, Bob. Thanks. And Linda. And you got to be careful. And actually, some of us, you know, Betsy has, and I have, gone through this. The sections that are referred to in this memo have now changed. So when it says Section 5, for instance, and the impact of other laws, it's really now Section 8.
Does anybody have another copy of the county attorney?
But go ahead.
It should be in all of your
it's in the passage. I'm sorry, Bob. And the floor is yours.
Well, let me just say that, starting off, we just received this week, at least I did.
Oh, there it is.
And I was given a copy of the memo prepared by county attorney last year, and I think that raises a number of serious questions. I have some other questions besides those. Some of the questions that are raised here concern the consistency of this law with the county charter, and I also would raise some questions whether it's consistent with general laws. Basically, this is a funding act. As you know, we have a budget act in the charter. So the consistency there is in something has to be addressed. You can go line by line through the county attorney's memorandum. They raise a number of issues. I don't think many of which have been addressed. Let's start with county law. The county law, and this was a discussion that's...
This is where are you now?
Well, I'm not going to go in the memo. I'll go back to the memo. Let me start with the county law. Because this did come up with respect to districts. Mr. Abernathy brought it up. The county law has provisions concerning flood control. One of them is Section 223, which provides for a certain procedure to fund these type of projects. I think that has to be taken into account before you even get to many of the provisions that we have in here, because they all talk about funding. County Law Section 223 requires that a certain procedure to appropriate money for these types of projects. I don't think that procedure can be overlooked or ignored. It has to be accounted for.
That's not in this memo, is
it? No. That's my comment.
Okay, so we need to look at Section 2.
Well, I believe that this law was drafted in the attempt to comply with 223.
Well,
do you believe it does not?
I'm not sure that, again, I only had a few days to look at this.
Right.
So,
Let's stay on this point for 1 second. Isn't 223 the section that we used last time to authorize the funding in the first place?
Yeah.
So a question arose when we did that funding, whether 223 was sufficient on its face to authorize the county to issue the bonds that we issued last time, or whether you actually needed a local implementation of Section 223. I was of the opinion that you needed a local implementation of 223, but previous county attorney said we did not need it, and so we just went forward on the basis of 223. This act is an attempt to implement with a local law the provisions of 223 of the county law, or at least to be consistent with it. So if you find something where we're inconsistent, please let us know. But I think we worked to make sure that it was consistent, correct? Isn't that the the basis, isn't that where we started with 223? Yeah, it was the intent to be consistent with it. And some of the language, including the language that says the county board shall do the following and shall have the following powers, comes from 223. They speak only in terms of board of supervisors, which in our case would be the county board. They don't talk about...
Going back and forth, the whole Section 4 powers of the county board, I think, is problematic. Because you have the powers of the county board set forth in the charter.
Correct.
So, in a sense, are we attempting to amend the charter? Or is it even necessary? Because, you know, now you've added some language about subject to the county charter. But that's another issue, again, with only a few days to look at this, that I caution on this topic. Right.
Well, just for information purposes, I believe what we were attempting to do was take language from the existing
flood control and soil conservation.
Yes, those two sections. The existing stream control. We were taking from the stream control law, the 223, and from the county charter, and restating them as in one place, so that it was clear what powers we were relying on.
Well, again, I think that I'm not even sure that this section is needed. There's
could be chicken soup.
Based on the look at subdivision 6 of subdivision 6 of section 4 talks about appropriate resolution. We've now added the provision about everything has to be approved by act. So that clearly is not clear. Now, getting back to the county law says basically, again, if you minutes to look at this, and it has to be reconciled. The county law really sets up several mechanisms for funding. One is by general county funds, that's section 223. Then you have articles 5A and 5Z, which are basically districts, which you discussed previously,
correct?
Those are already set forth in the county law, and there's certain procedures that have to be followed by general state law, the county law, to implement those. Now, whether this entire act is entitled to be like a precursor to those should be explained. And in particular, the provisions when you're talking about funding, phase one funding, phase two funding, the powers of the county board to fund are all subject to A, the charter, and B, the county law. I don't really see all that in there at this point.
I don't think those of us who drafted this, I don't think we disagree with you, but we don't see any inconsistency. This is an attempt to set forth a procedure which is consistent with 223.
It can be inconsistent. For example, right off the bat, you need a public hearing before you can appropriate the money, which you have to do once a year, and then it's subject to a normal appropriation procedure. The normal appropriation procedure is not reflected in here at all.
What you just said is inconsistent.
No,
because 223 is special appropriations as opposed to normal appropriations.
Yes, but then if you read
the section... In fact, that's the way we did it last time. We appropriated special funding.
No, well, it does say then it's subject to, shall not exceed the sum set forth in those hearing. And then there's a section. There is a sentence in there that refers to the normal appropriation procedure.
Well, what happened last time when we did the Mamaroneck funding, I believe it was... in fact, it was Chris that picked up that section, if I remember correctly. The previous, both the county attorney and bond counsel missed that section, but it was Chris Crane who found it, and we were the ones who insisted on a public hearing. This board insisted on a public hearing because we recognized the need for a public hearing. But I don't think we're trying to do anything that's inconsistent with 223. What we're doing here is setting up an internal procedure so that there is a procedure for the Board of Legislators and the county to follow, as opposed to what some people thought was an arbitrary approach last time, where the county executive decided to appropriate certain funding. Well, and then it kind of after the fact, he set up a committee.
I think the legislation has to make that clear, because when you just look at it, it doesn't look like it's an internal procedure. It looks like...
Well, it's a law.
It's appropriation method. So certain language has to be added to clarify.
Why? What's wrong with it being in the appropriation method? It's how we're going
because
to determine...
it's inconsistent, A, with the county charter, and B, with the county law.
Well, is there anything in here that says that the project does not have to be in the county charter? Does not have to be in the capital budget as well? There's nothing in here that says this overrides the capital budget.
There's nothing in there that says that it doesn't. So all I'm saying is you should clarify it to make the application of these other laws clear so that somebody doesn't in the future argue, oh no, this is independent of the charter, independent of the county law.
I see. So you think there should be a reference in here to the to some kind of an addition to the capital projects? That this has to be in the capital projects?
I would think it have to be in the capital projects, yes.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get the money from if it's not a capital project or it's not in the budget?
I agree.
It has to come from somewhere.
I think it's implied that it's either going to be in the general budget or the capital budget.
I wouldn't, you know, pass legislation with implied provisions. I'm reluctant.
So do you want to add the words in here that it's going to be in the capital budget?
We need something, I think, to deal with this issue.
What's your take on that?
I would think that.
So we could add something in here that says that, I don't know where you put it, because I think it's required.
Well,
I think
you have to
put it.
We're not going to be voting on this
today. No, we're not.
Okay.
It's in the effectuation of the reconnaissance plan. And if we have some way of getting a project out of this recommendation to reach project, out of the reconnaissance plan or into the capital program,
So I just personally just assumed that that there's only two ways to do. One is regular budget, one is capital budget. Mm-hmm. And so we have other laws that talk about spending, and you always have to go through either the capital budget or the
or get a grant.
But I think
right.
It should be accepted.
But that's a valid point. Or get a grant. What if there's a grant?
Who handles? Who controls it?
This would control it.
You expect to get a grant from you.
Right. Let me get there first.
Planning ahead.
Well, how do you handle that situation then where you have a grant?
Well, certain grants. I mean, that's Article 5D of the county law. It deals with federal grants, and then you have to follow Article 5D if you want to get those grants. So that's another mechanism of funding.
Right.
It's not referred to here at all. So...
you're taking the view that everything in the world has to be referred to in this legislation. What we're doing here is setting up a process.
We need an ab-ante provision for state grants.
For state grants.
Well, again, there's another section here of the law which is mentioned in the prior county attorney's memorandum concerning the environment and conservation law. I'll let Linda talk about that.
Yeah. In particular, in your legislation, it refers to applying for and accepting from all funding from all available sources, including federal and state funding. That line in and of itself sort of implicates, if you are going into federal and state funding, the provisions of the ECL in part Article 16. Specifically, it talks here about any projects, and this section is actually entitled flood control. Any projects herein authorized consist in general of all projects for flood control lying wholly or partially within the state of New York, which have been or may be approved by the federal government and for which federal fundings may be made available. To the extent that this is involved, then there are other procedures that are needed to be complied with, and specifically to get certain approvals from the commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation. And that would include local municipal agreements. In section 160115, it specifically talks about municipal participation in federal programs, raising and disbursements of funds, and local cooperation agreements, which includes, among other things, that any local cooperation agreement may include such additional terms and conditions as the commissioner may determine to be necessary. So, the board should just be aware that this provision exists, and it's not even clear how that would impact on here. In fact, there's another section here that
talks... It doesn't unless you're taking monies from this particular program.
I understand that, but you've already indicated by...
So if we're taking monies that are not from this program, it's not relevant.
Well, what I'm saying is that in your program, you're specifically saying that there's in 117, you're talking about applying for and accepting funding from all available sources. So to the extent there's another source, a federal funding source or a state funding source, these provisions are implicated.
To the extent that Warren Buffett decides to give us money and has his own conditions, we have to comply with those also.
Exactly. Well.
But we're not going to put in here that if Warren Buffett gives us money, we're going to agree to his terms.
Well,
I mean, clearly it's implied that any wherever you get the money from, you're going to. It's understood that you're going to accept and comply with whatever regulations and laws are governing the monies that. And there's no way you're going to list every possible source in a piece of legislation.
Well, the other concern is that in a different section, you talk about how the county board is going to direct how much percentage of the funding will be allowed for between the municipality and it. Mm-hmm. That is in contravention to the provision in section 16-101.
Well, at that point, if there is in fact monies coming from this other program, which may not even be in existence anymore, then at that point you have to resolve the two.
Unless,
right? I mean, you're going to come to us and say that the city of Yonkers says that we're only going to allow 40 years, not 50 years, and our law says 50 years. And so at that time, we resolve it by bringing the two together and looking at our law and looking at the city of Yonkers. You're going to do exactly the same here. If somebody comes up with a new grant program, well, then at that point, you're going to look at that new grant program.
But can we simply solve the problem by saying, you know, our language, or as otherwise provided by another section, you know, just, I mean, some catch-all phrase, just, it's no big deal.
No, because you want this I don't disagree with you, but if in that situation, for example, if the ECL money is going to the locals and not to the county, okay, then that could be their local share. On the other hand, if you put language in here that talks about ECL, you might actually be confusing things, because in that situation, it might be deemed to be the county share. So I would respectfully suggest you don't want to make it that specific. You want to deal with a project-by-project basis. We all understand that state law is going to take precedence over anything we do.
Just deal with it when it comes up.
Right. Deal with it when it comes up.
That doesn't make our law illegal on the face of it.
Right. No, it's not going to make it illegal. Because most of what we're talking about here is going to be similar to what we've done before, which is county money plus local money. I mean, that was the whole idea here. If there's another system out there, then this isn't needed at all. But clearly, that other system isn't out there. It isn't working.
There is another system. It's in the county law.
No, but I'm saying another system of money, another stream of money. We would appreciate your comments if this is in any way...
Where the money's coming from is not the issue. Is talking about how do you authorize the money.
Correct.
Okay. Right.
What we're attempting to do here is to draft a local law to implement county law and the New York State Constitution and our powers under the charter, rather than do it on an ad hoc basis. Because what you have today,
I think is
an ad hoc situation.
We would like to take an opportunity to implement what you just said.
Okay.
By making suggested changes to
the law. Out the policy. So the Stormwater Task Force ad hoc comes in with some projects.
Exactly.
So what Tom is saying is, you want to take that ad hoc process and institutionalize codify
exactly.
it.
The Board of Legislators last year appropriated monies for several projects. And there was an informal agreement among all of the legislators that before we did any more of these projects, we would set forth a statute which would set forth in writing all of the terms and conditions that we've used in the past, all of the work of the Flood Action Task Force, so that everybody understood what the rules of the game were.
Well, that may fit
and then
fine.
Every community had an opportunity
that may
to
be
apply to these
fine
rules.
Under this, because in fact, under the county law, you have to have specific projects. You can't just authorize money for that.
Correct.
And so if this is trying to implement that, I said we'll try to make change language here to make it clear that's what you're doing.
Right. We're attempting to set forth a process under which all of the municipalities in the county could participate.
And maybe I short circuit some, maybe because speaking as one legislator, and you and I have had this conversation over the years, it seems to me that I would always opt for any legislation that we pass out as a board, that it needs to go through the county attorney's office. I want to see the county attorney sign off, whether it's a law that we write and give them, or at the end of the day, it's got to be a product. And we go out to the public, we feel satisfied that our county attorney's office has blessed it.
there's a problem. You say, well, you know, at least it went through the attorney's office. But so I think it's important. Bob could start with our draft and work on it, or whatever we want to do. But take the message of what we want to do. And I know you like to kind of sometimes just, you know, do it, but I just think it's important to have the blessing.
I agree.
So all these other issues out there, we know the county results is going, whether it's seeker or the planning board or state law or federal law, our counties have signed off on it. Not just procedurally, I think how we should do it. And John, you know, we talked about that before.
Let me just...
Yeah, we need to make sure we're in compliance with other...
Let me just also comment on funding, and there's two methodologies of funding. One can be through general county cash dollars. That's 223 of the county law, which is what we're talking about, bringing this whole system under that. And there has to be a finding that there is a general county benefit. It's not just for a local project. You can tie into a local project, but there has to be an overall benefit to a larger community.
We have that line. So can we declare it to be a county purpose?
No, declaring it to be a county purpose is not sufficient.
It's not sufficient.
You could, under that theory, you could make anything.
That has to be by state law, you know, I think.
Secondly,
does 223 do that?
223. Now, secondly,
Article 5. But 223 makes it a county purpose to deal with these projects.
No, 223 says you have to, there has to be a county purpose. It has to be a determination that, for example, where a town is doing a project and you want to expand it, and then there's a cost sharing, that's specifically in 223, subdivision 6. There is a finding, in effect, that there's a larger county purpose to this otherwise local project, and then it sets up some cost sharing. Secondly, which we go back to the districts, which you were talking about before. Drainage districts are in Article 5A and 5D of the county law. And in those situations, you have to have a benefit to the parcels that are going to be assessed for this course. So again, if it's strictly local...
That's a drainage district. This is not a drainage district.
Well, that's... we're talking about options and different ways of funding projects.
Correct.
And the projects are going to vary. We're not talking about one project. We're talking about multiple watersheds and multiple projects. And determinations have to be made with respect to each project. Is it a countywide benefit? Well, you have to determine that. Many times there's not, because you have different...
Well, can I answer that point, Mr. Chairman, on that very point? You're saying if we declare, the legislature declares in its legislative intent in front that solving this flooding issues is a county purpose of county benefit. Just that statement alone is not necessarily going to challenge that legislative finding. We make that finding. We find this flooding in Westchester to be a countywide...
Well, it's so broad and so general.
We pass a law. We stick it in there.
Flooding sure clearly is can be a regional project. It can be a local project.
Well, that's my question. But if we say
it can affect health, safety, and welfare. There's no doubt about it. Right. But I mean, there's more detail than that, because whether it's a flooding one local street versus flooding the Bronx River Parkway are two different things.
So the legislature... Not to the people in Somers. To the people in Somers, it doesn't matter if it's a local street or if it's the Bronx River Parkway. Well, they don't care. What we're doing is we're saying that from the whole county is damaged if a significant portion of the county is underwater. And so maybe the people who are in North County,
what's
the language we need to put in there that when the legislation passes, we've created a county purpose?
It's the language that we used when we passed the bond acts under 223 last time.
Why would you want to make that determination now when you can make it as the project, as the task force develops the project, so you can look at what the project
criteria
is, and then utilize not only section 223 but article 5A and 5D.
But you're going to get into debate. Let's say there's flooding in downtown Rye, and if it looks like, well, there's a flood in downtown Rye, it's one town, one city, one thing.
But that's
where did that water come from?
But that's the whole purpose for the reconnaissance plan.
So if it goes project by project, we're going to have to make a fight. Does Rye pay for it? Is it a countywide purpose? You know, so the question is, we're talking flooding, can we? But I ask you, is there language that we can come up with which makes it clear that flooding, is a countywide purpose? We may find flooding on a street, which we don't take advantage of as well. Flooding on that street, you guys go take it for it. But we need the authority so we don't have that project-by-project fight. Is it or isn't it?
But
that's my opinion.
Aren't you going to have that anyway? Because when bond council is going to look at what you're proposing to bond, They're going to want to know.
And they won't look at our legislative finding? They're going to say how many streets are involved?
No, they want to know what the project is.
Well, that's my question. I mean, they're going to say, is it two streets, four streets, and they can't take a legislative finding? That
well, they might take a legislative finding, but I think it has to be in conjunction with the project, not a general statement.
You two have any comments?
Under on page 10, I guess, under the eligibility criteria, you probably could tweak that language to include some reference to a county benefit, which might get at...
Well, except we're not, we don't want to get into that, because what we were doing last time was looking, there was a hunt out there to find a connection to the county. And one of the purposes of this legislation is to define flooding and the mitigation of flooding as a county purpose. We all know that this is a problem countywide, and that it is better solved by everybody working together than it is for us to go out and say, well, it affects a county park down 2 miles down, therefore it's a county purpose. That's really that's why it's not part of the eligibility criteria, because we don't want to play that game.
I got you.
We want to say that if it's a significant flooding problem, and it's emanating from somewhere other than in a local community,
it affects Westchester.
Then it affects Westchester County. And, I mean, that's the whole the whole concept
can
here.
Can you draft that for us?
Because we can't isolate the flooding from one area.
What you said is you're talking about a project, not talking about just general language. You said significant flooding,
right,
affecting the county as a general, as
correct,
a proposition, not a purely local.
Correct. But that's going to be left up to the planning commissioner. And to this advisory board to come in and to look at it and say that this project here is important to us because of the following reasons.
If I can, presumably, if it's in the reconnaissance plan,
correct,
it's past that one little dead-end street flooding that in the reconnaissance plan, the commission, it's already reached to that level. I guess that's the goal. So this law applies to reconnaissance plans, and the projects in that reconnaissance plan already passed that test. That's one way of
describing the criteria.
When the Flood Action Task Force was first started, we believed that we had to show a direct benefit to the county in every single project,
correct,
because it protected a piece of county property.
You wouldn't recommend it, then?
When it got to the bonding stage, bond counsel, I think, Chris, wasn't it in the soil and water law that he found that phrase? That
no, Section 223 does not require such a local connection. 223 makes it a county purpose to deal with flooding.
Yeah, that sort of did away with
correct
that necessary benefit to a county right property.
No, but Section 223, Subdivision 6 says that the improvements are determined to be of sufficient importance and benefit to the public as to warrant the expenditure of county
correct
costs. So a determination has to be made on that project.
Correct. But what was happening was there was the belief beforehand that it had to affect county property.
Right,
and that the only authority we had county was property. County property. So therefore, all of our projects initially were screened from whether it affected a county sewage plant, or whether it somehow touched the county park, or whether it touched the Bronx River Parkway.
Or a county-owned road.
Or a county-owned road, or something like that. So and then we read 223, it was clear that you didn't have to restrict it to that narrow an application, that all you needed was a finding from the county board that there was a county purpose, a public purpose, to this project. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're doing here. Now, if we would welcome any language that you would have so that we make sure we're not, as somebody said, you know, responsible for somebody's basement. But on the other hand,
finding in the reconnaissance plan, like one of the issues, that to project to be eligible to be in the reconnaissance plan, there has to be a finding by the commissioner that it does affect, you know, it is significant. So it's not in that plan unless it qualifies. So maybe just make that.
Okay, how do we write
the reconnaissance plan definition refers to a plan that locates and describes existing areas and proposed or potential capital improvements.
Right, what page?
And you could, page 4, lines 13, lines 84 to 88, you could say any project included in the reconnaissance plan must have a county.
No, because you want them to list all of the potential projects to be distinguished from the ones that the county will participate in. Because if they come back with capital projects, they may be projects that they'll recommend to the municipalities.
The ones that they recommend to the board for action.
On that? Yes, the ones that they recommend to the board for action have to be the ones
right,
that.
So that's
because what we're also trying to do here is an overall plan.
So that if they come back with something that says, you know what, there's these five projects, one of them should be a county, and then the village of such and such should do this one, and the town of such and such should do this one, et cetera.
So that should be clear in the law, that we want... So the plan can identify the ones that will reach the bar of county purpose.
And in fact, in the Liswick original proposal, it sort of established projects as major, minor, and diminished. Yes. Minor and diminished being the local projects that then should be undertaken by the district.
How do we graph that concept in? I think that's what Mr. Rogowski is talking about.
How do we put that concept in? Maybe you're satisfied if the reconnaissance plan is called upon to do that.
Okay.
And the other thing, of course, was Liswick wanted the Basin Advisory Board to really determine the priorities and they were setting.
Right, that goes to your point. We have to rely on them to make the
right. Because I would like to see a priority intermunicipal. If the on page two, we talk about the county providing incentives.
Let me debate you on that point. It, should you have a circumstance where a major problem is occurring and it affects the whole county and it's totally within one municipality, then it's our job to deal with it. And it could be our fault. It could be something that we've done. So you don't want to limit that language that way.
Well, it's limited, but it's a priority. It doesn't have to be limited. So if there's a big project, it's still there. But in terms of overall priorities, one of the priorities, there's seven criteria, or one of the higher priorities.
You've got to do that on a case-by-case basis, though. Look, a lot of this
You want to send a message to municipality. I want them to read the law, so we work together, we get a higher priority. I mean, that's the message I think we got some message we want to send.
I don't think you're going to have a problem here. I think most of the municipalities, once this thing starts, are going to work together. I mean, that's the whole idea, is to get them at the table together.
Right. I like to put it the law anyway.
Well, but that is in here. That is one of the factors.
Well, it's one of, as I said, Michael, who decides which factors are? That's the whole point.
But you can't do that. I'm thinking of the Bronx River flooding. Okay?
You have a different opinion.
Huh? Exactly.
Yes. County board.
Yeah. I'm thinking of different situations.
So we're going to make all those decisions. Discretion.
Well, that's what we're here for. It's us and that's what you have a planning commissioner for and a county executive for. I mean, that they're supposed to look at this and come back and say, you know what, guys, the most of the problems are coming because of over here. And it happens to be up county.
I wanted to get out of the flooding business, too. Next one, I'm flooding.
Right, but your planning department is.
Definitely.
I have 5 o'clock.
Well, I think we have to come up with have another meeting and go through the rest of this memo. There's more issues here.
Well, we want to go through the issues
now. We've already heard that the county attorney is going to go look at this law and come back to us.
Right. No? He said he didn't have enough time.
You want more time to maybe research some of these issues?
Yes, and then we'll try and make some modifications.
I suggest to you that some of these issues are taken care of in the new drafts.
So we're going to give
that we have that the new memo, that the issues that have been raised in the old memo are not all relevant to the new draft?
Exactly.
Right. So maybe you want to take
a
look
at that. Yeah, that's the other thing. So we're going to give you time.
Okay.
And let us know a timetable and we'll accommodate.
We need a couple of weeks.
Sure.
We would like to get a public hearing on this as soon as possible to see what the public thinks of it and so there's a bit of a time urgency on this so that we can get this drafted.
Do you have a motion to adjourn the legislation?
So moved.
Second. All in favor, aye.
A motion to adjourn the Environment Committee?
So moved.
Is there a second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
At least, nobody can say these meetings are boring. Nobody's falling asleep during these discussions. Thank you both. Thank you all.
Thank you for having me.